I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca.
It's Monday, the 19th of October, 2015. For our rabid fan base who were looking for us last week, it was Thanksgiving, so Jack and I took Monday off. But we're back, thankful, are we?
We are. We are very thankful. Always after a weekend with family.
Is that a difficult time? I mean, not a difficult time, but I mean, is it an uncomfortable time?
It's always interesting.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it was good. It was a nice Thanksgiving. Dinner was had by all, and got to see my family. Although we all live pretty local, it's still nice to kind of get together and have that annual dinner.
Yeah.
Once in a while, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I avoid family, so that's not.
I do pretty much. So it's their one time to, catch up and bother me.
I had dinner with friends, and that was nice, and that was perfectly pleasant. So it was, was there any discussion on politics around your dinner table last week?
Actually, there was, because I have two younger brothers. Younger brothers and cousins and everything, actually. So I was just really on them to make sure that they go out and vote on Monday. So that was really the big topic of discussion. It's important, especially for the young people, to get out and vote. This year in particular, this year's vote is more important than anything. So one site I actually told them to try out was this Vote Compass.
Mm-hmm. That's on the CBC site, right?
It's on the CBC website. It's pretty awesome. So I tried it out the other day, votecompass.cbc.ca. They've posed it as an educational tool to help, developed by political scientists to help you explore how you fit into the political landscape. So I tried it out myself and did the testing,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty accurate. It was pretty accurate. So, have you gotten a chance to try it yet?
Yeah, I tried it back in August or September, and right at the beginning of the campaign, and it was fine. I mean, it came out the way I thought it would come out, that I'm generally a conservative. So I thought it was fairly accurate in its questions. Did you find the same for you and whatever?
Well, yeah, like I was saying to you earlier, I mean, I think it put me out as a liberal, but I think, some of their views are kind of closely in line to NDP, so it wasn't too far off. I'm not voting liberal, but it was close. Not 100% accurate, but again, some of those questions are fully loaded, too. Like, for me, anyway, it was, some of the questions were a bit difficult for me to answer, but I'm going to try it again.
Yeah. you think you've changed your mind?
Just to see if it still gives me the same results,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm actually going to be voting later today.
And so you want to check it to make sure that you're still voting?
Absolutely. That I'm still voting correctly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try it out again.
Don't you think, though, a lot of people, a lot of people have different things that they're concerned about. I mean, you talk to some people, they're concerned about the environment. Mm-hmm. Some people are concerned about the military.
Right.
Some people are concerned about jobs. Is it easy for you, since you're going out to vote later today, as to reconciling all those things, whatever you're concerned about, and finding the right candidate?
No, you know what? It's difficult. It is difficult because, my concerns vary from the next person, although I think there's so many things that have importance. I don't want to say one is less important than the next, but is there one person that I think can fulfill all of the needs that I am looking for? No. But I think it's like we're left to choose the one that's going to do the closest to a good job,
or someone that we think is more
someone
honest than the other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the devil. it's any better than the devil you don't know, I don't know.
Yeah. So some people look at it, I mean, when we go to the poll today, I mean, I've already voted in advance polls, but when people go out and vote today, some people are voting for the guy or the gal who is in their riding. Some people will look to the vote as for the party, so whatever leader, whether it's Justin Trudeau or Stephen Harper or Tom Mulcair,
right,
who they like better and vote that way. I mean, do you have a preference? I mean, what do you do when you're in the poll there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm voting for the guy in my area that I think is going to do the best job directly in my area. So thus far, it's been Don Davies, who is NDP, mm-hmm. and he's done a really great job in this riding. So that's naturally who I would vote for.
Yeah, I said that. I say that in an article in the Globe and Mail today, that I'm not an NDPer, but I have an NDP sign because I like Davies. I think he's a great MP. But you know, I'm voting the way that I have tended to vote in recent years, and that's conservative because I support sort of the general direction of the Conservative Party in government, as opposed to say a Liberal government or even an NDP government. I mean, the Conservative candidate in our riding, we both live in Vancouver Kingsway, is not a terribly impressive fellow.
Jojo is his name?
Yeah.
Yo-Yo or Jojo Quimbo?
Quimpo, yeah.
Quimpo?
Yeah. I'm not terribly impressed by him, but you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if Davies was in a real fight, I would want Davies to win. But I have a feeling that Davies will win this riding with over 50% of the vote, as he did last time. So I don't feel bad not voting for him. You know what I mean?
Your one vote may tip the scale, Joseph.
I doubt that in this riding. That's
going to be horrible.
When you go throughout this riding here, I mean, on this street, I mean,
Well, I saw Jojo's people on my corner today because, you know, his office is right near my house.
Yeah.
And I saw his people on the street the other day, actually.
Yeah.
Doing their thing with their signs and, you know, and then there was somebody for a Liberal guy.
Mm-hmm.
What is his name?
Stephen Koo.
Stephen Koo, yes.
Yeah.
She was standing there also giving out pamphlets, and I had to pass them both, you know, and not.
I think a lot of I think a lot of people though are just glad that it's over because it has been the longest campaign in Canadian history.
Oh God, it feels like I remember people talking about voting, and I was like, isn't that, like, next year?
Yeah.
Like, it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great that it's almost time to, that we get the results.
We'll get the results later tonight, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It's exciting.
Back to your Thanksgiving dinner there, you said you had young people at the table who you mm-hmm. want to go vote. Now, do you find that people their age, I'm assuming they're in their early 20s, is that right? They've just turned 18. Do you find that young people are engaged and will vote?
You know what? So they're actually quite engaged, just in different forms that we're not used to. They see a lot of stuff on social media,
mm-hmm.
And hear a lot of things through social media. I have to admit, I'm not fully 100% on these forms that they use, but you know, my youngest brother is 22 now. He'll be 22 next year, so this is all new to him. But he does know that this is his right, because of course his 12-year-old niece has educated him on voting and and told him that this is his right and he should go out and vote. So he's trying to educate himself on who he should be voting for. He sees a lot of NDP stuff, and of course, Don Davies' office is actually across from his house.
Uh-huh.
So I think he's kind of just going that way just because, you know, when you're young, and in our house, I always remember when I was young, as soon as we were able to vote, my mom was just like, well, you just vote NDP. You don't even need to know his name. Just when you go vote, this is how you're voting. We grew up in, you know, in a union household, yeah. And that's just how we voted. So I myself didn't even become extremely educated about it until the last few years when I came really union involved and more politically involved. But yeah, you know, my brother's 21 right now, and he's going to go out and vote. And like I said, he'll probably be voting NDP. My other brother's 25, and he's been in school. He works in the trades. So, you know, some things, important issues for him are definitely the jobs and economy. Yeah. And he's pretty aware.
See, I grew up in a union household, too. My parents voted NDP, but yeah. I sort of went the other way, I guess.
And when you started to know better?
Well,
when you know better, you do better, right?
See, the thing is, I voted NDP provincially, and I've done that. I didn't vote NDP last time, but the previous times, 2001 and 2005, I voted NDP provincially. Federally, I've always voted with conservative parties, the Canadian Alliance, and then this current Conservative Party.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just who I am, though, right?
Yeah, you know, I feel really indifferent about it. It's still like, I still feel like there's still a lot to learn in order for me to select the right candidate. Because you're right, like, federally, I feel like there's somebody that's more posed for the job than the other, opposed to provincially.
Yeah.
And
then it goes to the other point, too, that maybe it just doesn't matter who you vote for, right?
Exactly. Maybe it doesn't. Yeah. Maybe they're all just, you know, feeding us from the same trough. Because really, you know, they do what they do and say what they need to say to get where they need to go, right? At the end of the day, like, there's only so much money in this pot. And how it's going to be used is, I guess, this person's judgment call, but are they going to, how is it dispersed is basically how it is what we wait to see and how it's going to be done. Who's it going to benefit? I just found with the Conservative government, for me, as a single mother who doesn't own a home or doesn't really own anything, there was not really too much of a benefit to me under this government. Everything went up. I lost child care subsidies. I actually, my debt ratio went up in this last few years more than anything. So at this point for me, it's like I don't think it could get any much worse. You know, it can only get better, really. If the government changes. I've seen what's happened when we've had NDP provincially.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me nervous, too. Because it's like, yes, it may benefit me temporarily, but long-term, that may hurt me as well. So, I don't know, it's so hard to make it. And this is also, I'm sure, the reason why a lot of people just don't vote.
Yeah, they're just sick and tired of the system.
Exactly. So I was reading, I was watching one of my PVR episodes of Dr. Phil the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch Dr. Phil?
I've watched an episode because I've had to interview someone that he interviewed, so I just watched it for that. But I actually, this past summer, I went to the Dr. Phil set. In Los Angeles. And so I saw what it looks like in that studio. Where Mrs. Phil sits, and
that's a big time seat there. You know, there's a contest right now to be able to sit in that seat next to her.
And
walk off with her and Dr. Phil.
I guess that's the gimmick. They walk
that's
off.
That's a big it's a big thing.
Well, the most interesting thing on the set there was backstage. I guess he uses Altoids, those mints.
Right.
And so there's a tin of Altoids on a desk just as he walks out. And the tin is secured on the counter, so it doesn't go missing.
What a diva.
So I opened it, and sure enough, there were some mints there. And
was there?
Yeah.
You didn't take any?
No, I don't really. I don't use
Altoids.
No. All right.
Well, they were Dr. Phil, so.
Yeah.
Either way. But his show,
yeah.
I was watching today. I PVR it myself. And, you know, once in a while, I find his issues lately are becoming a little more controversial, a little more mainstream, but. You know, more in line with things that are going on today, more news-type issues opposed to, you know, like, my son's a drug addict, or things like that. So there was this episode on about this girl who created this app called People.
That's like Peep?
P-E-E.
Okay, like Look, yeah, okay.
Right, People, and it basically gives people an ability to rate you as a person.
So sort of like Yelp?
It's exactly, just exactly the same concept. So it's a Yelp-type concept, and people can go on there, essentially create a profile for you without your permission, and begin to rate you, and other people can rate you as a person.
And so what are the criterion for rating? I mean, like, if you're a nice person, if you're talented, if you're mean, are those the sort of things you can rate someone on?
Well, on the show, basically, what the creator, her name is Julia Cordray.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the co-founders of this app. And when she was on the Dr. Phil show today, she's actually being really vague about how much, what the criteria is that you can be rated on.
Okay.
Because they haven't actually fully released it yet. And there's a lot of things... that are quite questionable about the app, I think you might want to say. There was an article in the Washington Post, and she also was speaking on this on the Dr. Phil episode. Her name's Caitlin Dewey. She was questioning the fact that why can people create profiles on you and then just start. You know, like, there's a privacy issue there, many privacy issues that are being breached. So, of course, when the co-founder came on, she said that there's been a lot of changes made,
mm-hmm.
And they're basically not going to divulge that information, but essentially some of the criteria was you have to be 21, you have to have a cell phone, you have to have an active Facebook page, and this is all... I guess kind of their verification, as I loosely say, verification method of setting up a profile for somebody.
So do you have a problem with that? With
me
the app?
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at first when I heard it, I thought, okay, that's interesting. Me personally, I don't have much to hide. I don't really care what anybody would have to say about me.
Yeah.
And I think if somebody really disliked me that much and took the time out to write a profile on me, like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. It says more about them than it does about me, I personally would think.
Yeah, but, I don't have a problem with people saying what they think about me.
Go ahead.
But the thing I have a problem with is if they're making up shit, you know, if they say something,
that's the thing,
you know what I mean?
There's no control over it, right?
Yeah.
And that's, see, this is where the flip side comes in. What if this is just a jaded ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend or, you know, somebody who just has it out for you?
Mm-hmm.
How will this adversely affect you with jobs or, you know, other things? And one of the co-founders said that she saw it as a tool to kind of research the people that you choose to get involved in your life. She's a single mother with two children, so she found that this as a way to research the people that are coming into your lives.
Well, isn't that what Facebook and Twitter are for? Or?
Facebook, I mean, you can use that to a limited degree, but it's at some point, hello, you have to be a parent and just be able to trust your gut instinct. I don't think any app is going to be able to do that? Like, are you going to do a background check on every person that makes contact with your children? Give me a break. So I don't buy that. I don't think this is going to help determine how do you verify that that information's correct?
Well, it's like Yelp. I mean, I use Yelp. I enjoy using Yelp in terms of rating things that I've been to, whether they're mainly restaurants, right, but other touristy things that I've gone to. Some of the stuff on there can be bitter, and it can be vindictive. But, I mean, you just when you're reading someone's negative review, you just have to take that with a grain of salt, maybe, and
right, just, try it out yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not concerned about what people say that's negative. But, I mean, I use it to write things when I have experiences that are negative and positive at the same time.
Yes, but, you know, you're more inclined to go there when you've had a negative experience. I mean, I am.
To go to Yelp, you mean, and start rating people?
Yeah.
See, I rate people regardless. I mean, if I went to a restaurant tonight, I would rate them tomorrow morning. Regardless of what the experience was, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent.
Okay, well, so you're a regular then. No, you know, I get into moments, too, of regular Yelping, but for the most part, no. But, I mean, this whole, this app, I'm interested to see if it actually launches. They say, actually, that the company's share is valued at $7.6 million right now.
Hmm.
So, you know, pretty interesting with body shaming and internet shaming and bullying and all of this going on. It's an interesting time for something like this to be released.
Yeah, well, it does open itself to all those negative things that the internet has done in recent years. You know, I mean, it's driven a lot of people to suicide. So, I mean, this is just another way that could happen.
It's just another. This is actually just an organized forum and an app that allows people to do that. So, should be. And these are not. These girls are, you know, not girls. I should say women. She has 2 degrees, or she has a degree in marketing. She owns 2 consulting firms. You know, so these are people with some educational background and some, you know. Substantial substance behind them. So
She also sounds like a huckster, but that's another story.
You know.
But I have to admit that the reason why I joined Yelp was because I had a negative experience with a restaurant.
Right. And so that's why. What brought you there.
Yeah. But initially. I mean, if you look at my ratings here on Yelp, most of the places are positive. I've rated positively, I should say.
Well, you know, I rate good places as well. I rate bad. I rate. There's times, like I said, I get into really yelping. Mm-hmm. The thing where I think this may go sideways is, like I said, jaded exes, or, you know, people at work that may not like you and just go on there and start talking trash if that's what they want to do. And if there's no regulation, I mean, how do you regulate it? I couldn't see much positive coming from it.
Well, we started our discussion this morning about the election, and, I mean, we will be rating people when we go to the polls. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I guess the difference is those people are public.
They're voluntary.
Yeah,
right.
And
they're public. This is it's a democratic process. This is just, you know, I'm going to go online and, I don't know.
I guess our society has sort of regarded people, everybody, as you know, fair game, I guess, in terms of criticism, in terms of discussion. I mean, the right to privacy is I guess, has
it's
diminished.
No more.
Yeah, has diminished with the internet, hasn't it?
It looks like it has. There is no such thing as privacy anymore.
Seen any good movies lately, Jackie?
You know, I've downloaded a few. I haven't been able to watch anything that great lately.
I saw The Wedding Ringer.
Okay, what's that one about?
It's Kevin Hart. He plays a guy who people can hire if
Kevin Hart. He's funny.
if they need a best man or, you know, they need a wedding party. So he's in charge of that. And so
that's funny.
Yeah, so the premise is that Josh Gad has no friends and needs a best man and groomsman for his wedding. And so he goes to Kevin Hart's agency or his business, and Kevin Hart plays the part. But that's
Kevin
not.
Hart is so funny.
But that's not based on a book, so.
Oh no! That you know what? That kind of sounds like that other. There's another movie that sounds similar to that. But yeah, actually, when you say it's not based on a book, but you know that last movie I saw that was based on a book was Gone Girl.
Okay. Yeah, the Ben Affleck one, right?
The Ben Affleck one. So. Yeah. I knew that it was coming out as a movie. I kept hearing things about this book, this movie coming out, and how it sounded good. And I said, you know, it sounds, they keep saying how great it is, but let me read the book first.
Yeah.
So I went out, and I wouldn't read any more reviews about the movie. I didn't want to hear anything about it. So I went out, and I got the book, I think about 2 weeks before the movie started. So I knew I had 2 weeks exactly to read the book, and I wanted to go and see the movie the day it came out. So the movie came out on a Friday. I finished the book actually Friday evening and went to see it that Saturday. And I way much more preferred the book.
Huh.
Way better.
So what do you make of movies that are based on books? I mean, do you think they... I mean, generally, do they work, or just in this Gone Girl case, they didn't?
No, from what I've seen, I don't think... From what I've seen in the few book-to-movies I've seen, movies can't do it justice. You know, a book, you're forced to use your own your creativity to create the character, the scene, the background, and in a movie, it's all kind of... It's done for you. Right, and there's lots of parts in a movie that are chopped out because you're not having to use that creative element anymore. Whereas in a book, that's absolutely it. Depending on how good the author is, you're forced to create those scenes and to create the image of these characters that are described. It just the brain is working so much more, and. It makes it more interesting.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, they've made The Great Gatsby into a movie twice now, and no one has said that it's as good as the book.
No.
Yeah, and I mean Catcher in the Rye, one of the more I guess celebrated books of the 20th century, has never been made into a movie, even though people have tried, just simply because the author refuses to. Or had refused to. He's dead now, but...
sometimes it just can't be done.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned to you the time when we were forced to read Of Mice and Men
in
high school.
Yeah.
I think both of you and I were in English class together.
English 12, I think, wasn't it?
Yep, I think it was 11 or 12. But I'm pretty sure it was 12, but it was Of Mice and Men. And I thought I'd be a cool guy and watch the movie instead of reading the book because, you know, who has time to read a book when you're in grade 12? So I went next door. The library was right next to my house, and I got the movie. And I brought it home, and I watched it. And I watched the movie, and it was a good movie. It kind of actually piqued my interest. And I was like, this movie is actually kind of good. Maybe I'll try and read the book. So I read the book after watching the movie, and the book was even better.
Huh.
And I thought, well, shit, the book, I should have actually read the book first and then watched the movie because there's so many things that have happened in the book that didn't happen in the movie. But it also taught me a lesson. You read the book first, because it's going to be better than the movie.
Well, what's wrong with... I mean, I don't see a problem with, say, watching the movie and then maybe going back to the book later, because obviously they have to cut out parts for the film.
Maybe.
Going back later. I don't see that a problem.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't really, you know, tested it too much yet because that whole of mice and men incident was very, you know, I should have learned my lesson. I should have just read the book like I was told.
Yeah, yeah.
So I haven't tested it out again. Or, you know, The Color Purple, I've seen the movie, read the book, and seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's also like a 3-hour movie, and I feel like they pretty much covered everything in that movie.
Yeah, and it's funny how
in the book.
Yeah, it's funny how a movie like that, like I've never seen it, but I kind of know what it's about simply.
Yes.
Because I've heard about it all these years.
Oh yeah, it's pretty thorough, I think, and again, that goes to, I don't know if that goes to directing or the author or whatever the case may be, but that book was pretty thorough and true to the movie as well. So, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, it's something to think about. I mean, they're always making movies about books. I mean, from books, I should say. So, you know, it's something that... I read novels all the time. Because I interview some of these authors, and
right.
There's always, you know, they're about to be made into a movie sometimes, and
do you ever read some of them and you're like, oh, this is going to be a horrible movie?
No, not at all. No, I've never, I've never said that, because most of the books that they say that are going to be made into a movie are quite good. Now, some of them haven't been made into movies subsequently, like, you know, just they got developed and just failed, so.
Right.
But, no, I don't think... You know, I think people look at it critically and say, okay, this makes for a good book and possibly a good movie. Let's develop it. Let's buy it. And then that's about it.
And then it goes from there.
Yeah. Well, you better get the poll, so I'll let you go.
Yeah, for sure.
This was fun. Have a good week. We'll talk next week.
Great. You too. Thanks. That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, October 19th. 2015.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.